Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read together two verses in just a moment. There is no other faith that comes to a table like this because of resurrection. They may come because of relic or memorial. Some would even come believing that it's salvific, that you get your salvation through it. But let me tell you, there is no place in the four corners of the earth you will come to worship any God because he got up from the grave, save the Christian faith. That Christ, who lived, died, got up, and he rose. And so we come here to this table in just a few minutes, an examined people, a prepared people, a saved people, a mindful people, remembering what the Lord has done. As we prepare ourselves for that, I want you to read with me out loud 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. You have it there in front of you or on the screen. Let's read together aloud. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Paul is using this illustration, speaking of a large house. And in that big house, there are varied kinds of vessels or bowls. Some of earthen, made out of dirt, pottery. Some out of silver, some out of gold. I rose early this morning, got a plastic bowl, fed my wife's cat, slid it across the kitchen floor. We'll have lunch in a few minutes, and we'll use everyday china. We have some plates that evidently you have to be somebody to eat off of them. I rarely qualify, and it's only if someone else comes to our house. I see you have them too. We have silver trays with our name on them, given to us from varied people. I don't know what you do with them. If the right people come, they'll put some cookies on there. See, in your house, in my house, there are all kinds of vessels. In the house of God, there are two kinds of vessels. You, my friend, are a vessel. Just a vessel. But what an honor. You see, the honorable or dishonorable vessel is not in God's economy made such by what we look like. What makes the vessel honorable or dishonorable is what this vessel contains. Christ in us. The hope of glory. And if you are a vessel of the living God, you have confessed your sin, Jesus has forgiven your sin, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he lives through you, and you become a vessel not to dishonor, but to, not to honor yourself, but to honor the great God who made you and saved you. An honorable vessel contains God. He lives in us. It's the miracle of incarnation. He literally comes in us and then transforms us and lives through us. I hear a lot today of certain religions are radicalized. I keep praying the Baptists will get radicalized. When you get radicalized, you understand that God's in you and He's through you. You don't want to kill anybody. You want to see them come to eternal life. But if you're a dishonorable vessel, you're more concerned about your well-being than you are the honor of who you contain. This text says that we should cleanse ourselves from some things. It's the false teachings he's talking about, and that's altogether another message. And then he says, he will be, if you cleanse yourself, a vessel for honor. And then he gives three descriptions, three actions of an honorable vessel. I want you to see these quickly as we come to the table. Be an honorable vessel as you come to this table this morning. Look at it with me. An honorable vessel, first of all, is holy. Notice he says, an honorable vessel, sanctified, come. There it is. Hagias is our word. Holy, holy, holy. You get that in the Old Testament again and again. Thrice holy. The Hebrew does not have a good, better, best. It just says holy, 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 holy. Sanctified. Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. 1 Corinthians 11, you come to this table, let a man examine himself. When you make self-examination coming to this table this morning, number one, you need to examine yourself. First, are you in Christ and is Christ in you? Are you a saved man? Don't come to this table and eat unworthily. You do that if you're lost or you're living in rebellion. Not only are you to examine yourself, is Christ in you? But now secondly, you are to examine yourself, are you holy? Is the Holy Spirit in you? Examine yourself. This last week, I was invited to the Vanagon home for a meal. We know him best as Chef Bob that works here. And you get invited to Chef Bob's house, just change your schedule and go. If they've promised dinner. And he and Darlene had six of us over for dinner. But it was a test, not of us. He has some interns working for him this summer. And they had to serve us a multi-course meal. And they had to see if they got it right. So it was an examination. And when we finished, I told them they had failed the test and we had to come back and do it again. So did they have it cooked just right and presented just right, and just, he's got them going through an internship for a school. It was an exam. They were examining everything. This table, it invites you to come, but the invitation says, examine yourself before you come. Are you holy? Fear. With the Lord Jesus himself. That's an honorable vessel. Not are you smart, are you spirit-filled. Not if you got an education. It's are you edifying others. It's not about you, it's about him in you. You see, the honor is what the vessel contains. Sanctified, a vessel for honor. Comma, secondly, useful to the master. Not only is an honorable vessel holy, an honorable vessel is helpful. Helpful, useful to the master. Good for the kingdom. You are doing something, being helpful. God didn't save you just to come to sit, soak, and sour. God saved you to serve. Now, I don't know where that service is. Last Sunday was my first day back, but I was really not back because I didn't come here. I worked down in preschool. I'm encouraging all of my pastor friends, they should take a day and do that. You'll learn a lot of things. And so I went at 9:30 and I worked with 3-year-olds. It was a marvelous experience. The teachers were absolutely incredible. And I just helped out, took care of things. They had a service project, 2 different Bible stories. We did an art project. I did mine, glued my stones on there, Jesus with the woman at the well, and wrote my name. Helped all those kids. We had a fabulous time. I was just trying to be helpful. It's what Christians do. They serve. Friend, you're a dishonorable vessel as you come to this table if you're more concerned about people serving you than you are serving others. I don't know where you're to serve. Coach a team. Teach a class. Come on tonight and help out in the most excellent way. I don't know. But there's a place for you, both in the church and out of the church, for you to serve. I then went at 11 o'clock, they changed rooms and they put me with bed babies. And I mean, I had to literally step over children to get in. 4 rooms down there. I'm telling you, it was wall-to-wall children, little babies. All the little swings were going, and the chairs were rocking, and crawlers all over in the next room, and the next, 4 rooms of those kids everywhere. I was rocking, and a lady came by and said, "Pastor, you see that clock?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Now watch that clock." I said, "Okay." She said, "The longer you go up there, the longer we have to rock down here." I said, "Suck it up. You an honorable or a dishonorable vessel?" But I got the message. You know your pastor doesn't wear a watch, okay? Not on Sunday. Amen. Helpful. Serving. Friday, I went to the airport. Saw Michelle over at the Pensacola International Airport. She was leaving to go to East Asia, Central Asia. East Asia, I believe. Left Atlanta, here to Atlanta, to Los Angeles, to the other side of the planet, where she will serve for 2 years teaching English and slipping in the gospel in a closed country, asking God to give opportunity. You need to pray for her. She wants to be a vessel useful to the master. She said, "Pastor, they tell me that if you begin to push a little too hard on the gospel, they'll come and they'll nail a sign to your door that tells you to back off." She said, "We have to be wise to know, because we don't get thrown out, because we want to take advantage. We put salt in the oats. See those kids ask questions so we can talk." 10:30 last night, I sent her a Facebook message. I said, "Are you there yet?" She left Friday at 2:47. I got a message back from her last night, a little after 10:30. She said, "Just arrived." Now, this is amazing. I'm sitting in Wahoo's ballpark with my phone on Facebook, central instant message, sent that. In just a minute, it goes bing, and she sends me 9 pictures from Central Asia, East Asia. Says, "Here's my apartment. This is where I am." Beautiful. She said, "They're taking great care of me." She said, "This is where I'll be working, so pray for me." I said, "What time is it over there?" It was 10:30 at night here. It was 11:30 Sunday morning there. 13-hour difference. She's halfway around the world. When she started coming to this church, there was no way in her world that she was going to do that. And God gripped her heart with the command of the Great Commission to go. She is trying to be an honorable vessel, useful. What are you doing? I said, "Pastor, God's not called me to go across the world." "Well, He's called you to go across the street." He's called you to go to preschool, children. Somebody's got to go to children's camp this week. It's going to be hot at children's camp. Hot, hot, hot. Useful. Honorable vessels are holy. They are helpful. Honorable vessels, an honorable vessel is honed. H-O-N-E-D, honed. Look at it right here. You sanctified, you prepared, yes, prepared for every good work. God is working on you. He's bringing progressive sanctification about in you so that you will be prepared for a good work. When God saves you, you're not sanctified. You're not educated. You're not discipled. God has to... Some of us harder than others, amen? And God's fashioning and shaping and working on us so he can prepare us. If you're going to have a meal, somebody prepares the meal. If you're going to teach a lesson, somebody does lesson preparation. If they're going to do surgery on you, somebody has prepared for the surgery, amen? Oh, let's just run in there. What are we doing? What, you know... Oh, just cut him over there. It doesn't matter. No. They've made preparation. They have the right to. They've got everything. They got you ready to go. Let me tell you, when you're an honorable vessel, God's honing you. He's working on us. Amen? He fashions us and shapes us. 2 Timothy 3:17. He says he gave us the word of God so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. There's an equipping. It's a discipling. It's not just sitting in the class, but it's going and it's doing as you prep and get ready to do what God's called you to do. Friend, just because tough times come doesn't mean God's not in it. I put a tweet out this week that out of Proverbs that says, a righteous man falls seven times and rises. And you're trying to work for, I'm telling you, you're going to fall every now and then, but a righteous man gets up. He gets up again, he gets up again, he gets up again. One of the leading men in our city, within 2 minutes, retweeted that tweet. He had just been through, I found out later, one of the toughest situations in his life. And he saw that. He said, that's me right there. But I'm going to get up and go. Amen. See, God's just preparing us. Sometimes it's tough and other times it's good. But God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm preparing a message right now on jailed for Jesus. I'm praying for Pastor Saeed, who's in jail. Brother Stan gave me this idea through another man this week. 2 weeks ago, I've been thinking about it. Now, I want you to hear me. If I ever am put in jail, I want you to pray for me to get out. And if you go to jail, I'm going to pray for you to get out. But now, hear me. It's not always the timing and the mind of God. The children of Israel would have never gotten out of bondage had Joseph not gone to jail. Jeremiah went to jail. Before Jesus went to the cross, he went to jail. They arrested him. Friend, they didn't take him down to the Ritz-Carlton. He was crushed. But before crushing, he was incarcerated. Sometimes God uses hard things . I had a sweet little senior adult lady in our church a few weeks ago. She said, "Pastor, you've been here a long time now." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You're sweeter than you used to be." Now, there's one or two things at play there. Number one, I may be. Or she may just have an onset of Alzheimer's. Could be. Every coin has two sides. So I don't know if she's got a little mental issue going on, or maybe I'm better. I like to think I'm getting a little better. That God's just... I was at the Wahoos game with my little grandbaby last night, and they put on that music, and she was dancing. So I'm sitting in my seat. My phone. Smart aleck church member, Ollie. Said, "I just turned around to see you and your grandbaby making some dance moves." I said, "Yeah, it's amazing what they'll do to you." Well, you do get a little sweeter, don't you? Matter of fact, the old song says, "The longer I serve him, the more bitter I become." No, that's not the way that goes, is it? The longer you... See, God's just working on you. Some of you don't need to get sweeter. Some of you need to get tougher. Sometimes God makes us take a stand. All the while, he's preparing us. Honorable vessels are prepared for good works. Can I get a witness? Amen. And when we come to this table, we come. Remember, I'm going to ask our deacon leaders to come and join me in these two seats here. And as they come, I'm going to share with you what I always share before we come to the table. These are reminders. This is history. This is good. Some of you have been here and you've been to the Lord's Supper with me scores of times. We always bring this table out. It's an old table. I call it the Russo table. It wasn't in Passmore Hall, well, it was, but then it was in the Russo building before that. And after we didn't use it, Miss Russo put it in her house. And we bring out this old table. It's three pastors ago, well over 50 years ago, that they started using this table. And on the front of it, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." What we're about to do, we're going to give you a piece of bread, and we'll hold it and take it all together when I give us instruction. And we'll remember the Lord's broken body. Then in a moment we'll pass a cup with juice, and that juice will remind us of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And we'll take it all together to show the unity of the bride of Christ. But I always share this with you, and one of these days I'll just start calling on some of you to tell it because you've heard it so many times. But the first time I was ever in Romania, and we go frequently, it was hard to get into the country then because of the communist regime of Ceausescu. But they had freedom, and they were going to have a Lord's Supper service and invite the churches from other countries. You remember the Moldovans that you met last Sunday? If you were here, those four girls from Moldova, that was one of the countries they were coming from, coming into Romania. But it was hard to get in across the border. And one of the brothers, he shared this story the first time I was there. He said, "You know, Pastor, I didn't know how I was going to get in, but he said we were getting closer and closer to our time, and they were going to ask us, the border guard. And he said, God spoke to my heart. And I told him this when he asked, 'Why are you coming?' He said, 'My elder brother has died, and my father has called a family meeting to discuss our inheritance.'" Amen. That's what the Lord's Supper is. Our elder brother died, the Lord Jesus. And our father's called a family meeting. This is us. We're to be one to discuss our inheritance. Amen. Because this verse is not complete on these tables. "This do in remembrance of me," but You look back to the cross up there. You look, but that's not all of that verse. How long do you remember? Until he comes again. You look back, but he's coming. He's coming again. He's alive. Nobody like him. He got up. He occupies the throne, and one day he'll stand up and return. Until he comes, do this, broken bread. Do this. poured cup. Do this, remembering my cross until I come for you. Father, thank you for people gathered in this room. And I pray now our hearts would be prepared. I pray for saved people. God, help them be honorable. I pray for our lost friends in this room today. They would trust you. And for those, Father, that would examine themselves and find themselves away from you, I pray they would come home today in faithfulness and approach this table in faithfulness. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name. Gentlemen, come and